So as we begin today, I want you to do something for me. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to take a real deep breath and then hold it for a second and just let it out. Take another deep breath. Hold it. And let it out. I want you to keep your eyes closed. I want you to just kind of check in with yourself. And are there any things inside you that are defensive right now that makes you fear the things that might be said or how God might show up to challenge the way you think, the way you act? Ask those things that are defense to just relax, to allow what God will have done today in the lesson and the worship be done in us. And as we go out, that it can be done through us. Father God, we are so thankful that you are present with us today. And when we say that, it almost sounds like you're not present with us every day, but you are. It's folly to think that you're only with us when we call on your name. We thank you that you are among us and as your children in us in every moment. Help us to think with your wisdom. Help us to be comforted by your love and your word that says that we have value to you in spite of what we think of ourselves. Help us to think of ourselves as you think of us, so we have no fear to be in your presence, but joy to accept and embrace your guidance, and especially the love that you have to help us in every moment of our day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wisdom's way in a folly-filled world. How do you know the difference? When there's so much folly in the world, there's so many ways to think about things that is often pleasing to me, that it's going to satisfy me and the goals that I have for me. But what if that's folly? What if it's foolish, the things that I want, the things that I'm striving for, the things that I'm wanting to accomplish? Because it's only accomplishments that will last in the moment of hevel, smoke, of a short time under the sun. How do we engage in this life in a way that it's going to be beneficial? Because I think that we probably all wake up hoping that the choices we make in our day are going to go well for me, for the people we care about, that I'll be able to accomplish something that has some meaning somewhere. Then we ask, well, how long lasting will that be? Well, we have to have ears that hear something that is more than the buzz of the folly of the world that says to accomplish and to grasp and to strive and to possess. Because in that grasping, in that striving, in that possessing, that means you have value in this world. Striving is not a bad thing. Possessing is not a bad thing. Because all these things can be blessings from God. But it's when we turn those things into a god that then they become a curse. And that curse is there because of folly. So we begin by asking this, or considering this proverb. Pay attention and turn your ears to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach. For it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have all of them ready on your lips. So we start with the idea of wise. Why do we desire wisdom? What is wisdom? Well, wisdom is the knowledge you gain to be able to live in a world the way it was designed. And when you try to live in the world counter to the way it is designed, it becomes frustrating. It becomes challenging, and things get in the way. But then we realize in a world that is filled with folly, people all trying to just squeeze out the best life possible, sometimes other people's choices aren't going to be wise, and they're going to affect our life. And then we have to deal with, well, that's not good for me. So how do we deal with life when so many people are pursuing folly rather than wisdom? It comes with ears that hear God's message that I've created the world to be a certain way and I've created you to be a certain way. And if you are that way, and if you trust that when I say this is the best thing to do, even though in a moment or in a time it might be to your disadvantage, ultimately it might be to other people's advantage. And remember that you're not here on this earth by yourself, because he's created us for community. And when community breaks apart, it's because all the parts are not looking at how they can serve the other. It's how I can serve myself, how I can gain from the community to feed myself, as opposed to coming within the community and saying it's going to be a sharing, it's going to be a giving and a receiving. But for some people, it's hard to receive. It makes them feel weak. For other people, it's hard to give because it makes them vulnerable, because someone might not receive what I have to offer. But the wisdom of God says you have something to offer, because I've built you with that in you. You are uniquely given to this world with skills, abilities, and talents. Embrace that unique specialness that I've created you with. Are your ears able to hear that? You have unique specialness that God cherishes. So don't be running around trying to be what everybody else wants you to be. Accept what I've made you with, those skills and those talents and those abilities, and be a blessing in that community that has meaning beyond just the few futile days of this life. So this wisdom that we're supposed to attune our ears to, we pay special attention to the words of God, because they will help maneuver through the way he's created this world. And then we have to apply those things. They're just not concepts in our mind that we say, yeah, that's a good way to think about it. God says, yeah, I want you to think about it, but then I want you to live it. And allow those things to be ready on your lips, things that are going to build up, lift up, challenge people to be the best part of themselves, rather than using your lips as weapons of war, where you tear down other people's precepts and their egos because their egos are getting in the way of your own ego. He said, let our lips be gracious. So the wise are careful not to be verbose. And in this passage of Scripture, he brings us into three realities, that there is a great, impressive wisdom. There's also a great evil. And then there's a way to live in this life that seems chaotic and random. But if you understand that sometimes it can be chaotic and random because of just life, you will live better. Isn't that something you want to hear more about? How can I live better? Are you curious about that? Are you curious about what are some things about wisdom that greatly impress the writer, or things that are great evils that the writer wants to warn us about? Are you interested in hearing what the Word of God has to say so that you can live well? So we lay our defenses down. Because he starts off with this idea of war, doesn't he? That a great king comes and builds siege ramps against the city. And we think most of the times the one with power, the ones with armament, they're the ones that are going to win the day, because what else do you have to defend yourself with? Well, the writer says what defended the city is not like armament or more power, it is greater wisdom. He doesn't tell us what he did to win the day. All he says is he won the day through his wisdom. That this king who was verbose and who speaks great things about his power and his strength all of a sudden walks away from the city saying, oh, well, I didn't want that town anyway. You know, that's how, you know, someone in power who can't win, you know, they want to impose over you. But then when they realize they can't win, they go, well, you know, they got to save their own ego. I didn't lose. No, I'm not a loser. I just didn't want that city. I'll go after another city. So this loudmouth king walks away trying to deal with his folly that didn't allow him to accomplish his task that was self-directed. But what about this person who, with their great wisdom, save the city? I imagine the people rejoiced. We're so thankful that you brought us wisdom, because we didn't see another way out. And for some reason, you were able to see the intricacies of what was going on, and whatever the advice was that you gave us, it might have even seemed foolish at the time of the ways of the world, because we're not as strong. But in great wisdom, there is great strength, we see. And I would imagine that this person was thanked for saving their city. But in this day and age, if you're poor, that means you're not blessed, and which means that God isn't really with you. But we know later in Scripture that's not the case. So what happens to this poor man in this wisdom? It's kind of, well, thank you for the moment, but go on your way. Is that how you engage God? Is you seek him when you're in need, and when he provides, you thank him and are gracious in how he affected the things in your life and turned the bad into something good. And then you said, thank you, and when I need you again, I'll look for you. And because this is how this poor man was treated, his name's forgotten. His wisdom's forgotten. Because no longer in a world filled with folly is his wisdom needed. They got what they wanted from him, and now they're done. Do you do that with God? Do you come here for worship to get something from God, but then you got it, you feel good about it, and then it doesn't translate into your life tomorrow? That it doesn't help you live with wisdom, but you hear the voice of folly shouting that you fall back into living like the world does, that is foolish. Because in times, the way the world lives and the way the world acts, we see successes and we see accumulation of goods, and go, well, that's got to be the better way. But what greatly impressed the writer is this poor man's wisdom that proved that wisdom is better than strength, that wisdom is better than force. So you don't have to be forceful. You just have to be wise. And if we can be wise rather than forceful, then the words we use will be filled with wisdom rather than filled with power and maybe even demeaning. And then he moves on to, I've seen a great evil. I see things turned upside down in this world. I see folly winning and I see wisdom losing. He sees slaves on horseback and princes walking. He sees foolish people in power and people with wisdom discarded. So why would people discard wisdom? It's because it's not giving them what they think they need when they want that thing. There's a lack of patience. There's a lack of trust that the God who created them will accomplish the things he said in and through them. And that their value isn't going to come along the idea of your power of influence or your accumulation of goods. It's a great evil when the world lives for folly. That it's smoke, it's a chasing after the wind, it's making a name that won't last. But then he goes on to talking about how living in such a world where you're going to try to do good things, but because of the brokenness of this world, it may come crashing down upon you. You may be digging a pit for a very good reason, but be careful, you might fall into it. It's interesting, this past weekend I was up at camp. And I got up there Friday night, and work day was Saturday, so I went walking around the property. And I come along, and I see something along the creek, and there's a bunch of branches over it. And I look, and it looks like there's a hole under it. And I'm thinking, isn't that interesting? Who? This looks like a trap. Looks pretty obvious, you know, when you think of someone digging a hole to trap an animal and putting stuff over it. So it looks normal. So I don't know, maybe this is foolish. I put my foot on it and pushed on it to see if maybe there was a hole dug, because there was a hole there, just how deep was it? Well, that might have been the folly part, but the wisdom part said, don't push too hard. Because then I thought, if you get stuck out here, who's going to know? What a scary thought one day when the campers are taking a hike through camp and all of a sudden they see bones of someone who has long been forgotten and they don't remember his name. But isn't that really what, when we chase after things that only last a short time, are just smoke? Names forgotten. Accomplishes forgotten. But he says there's, you might dig a pit, you might fall into it, you might dig through a wall to expand your home and might get bit by a snake. You might be charming a snake and it, before you get it charmed, it bites you. There's things that happen. And how are you going to deal with those things, those natural events in life that you were trying to accomplish something good, but nothing good came from it? And you maybe only got something bad from it. Well, that's what happens in our world when it's filled with folly. Well, let's go back a minute here. We'll get to that in a minute. Romans 1:12 says, "The world claimed to be wise, but they became fools. They replaced the immortal God with gods that look like animals, other things that they could worship, other things that they could control." It's just like that fly that falls into the ointment, a great amount of perfume, that this one little event can spoil something that has great promise. And the wisdom behind that is, be careful how you live your life, because a little bit of sin can spoil all the good that you're trying to do. And that little sin that is just trying to satisfy you for that moment might ruin your name. In Proverbs 12:15, it says, "The way of the fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice." And when Christ came to the world, we see him challenging these three concepts. He's living into the idea that of a wisdom that is greatly impressive. That he becomes a person who is on this earth, who is to be a king, who has words that's going to help people live well and live right, who are going to be able to share in community and lift one another up when they're down, who are going to challenge one another in their thinking so that they don't keep going down the path of folly, but get back onto the road of wisdom. The epitome of wisdom came to this earth, but in such ways that the world says, that is folly. Why would the king of the world, why would God come and save his people through a young lady who is betrothed to another and becomes pregnant? It looks like she could have been an adulteress. It looks like something could have happened to her that she should have been put away. Why would God use such a means to try to get across to a people that their God is coming to earth to visit them, to save them, to help them, to redeem them? It seems foolishness. And here this young girl was able to endure such accusations, what I would imagine came when, whether it was from Joseph or someone else, how in the world are you pregnant? What happened to you? What have you done? That's the piercing arrow right there, isn't it? Not so much what happened to you, but what have you done? And she embraces the truth that this angel appeared to me and said that I was going to bear the Redeemer of the world. And in spite of what you're going to say about me, in spite of what you think of me, I'm going to hold on to the things that were said to me, this wisdom that God gave me, because if I don't do that, I will be crushed by your folly. And how often we have to return to that ourselves is, in spite of what people say, I need to listen to the word of God, so their folly does not crush me. And as Jesus is continuing his ministry, people will say to him, "I want to follow you." He says, "Well, realize that I'm a poor man. I have no place to place my head. You're going to follow me still? I have no monetary gain for you to give you. Are you still going to follow me?" Many of the rulers of our religion are going to reject me because of the things I say. It's going to put my life in danger. Are you still willing to follow me? I'm going to do some things in this world that are going to astound people, and lots of people are going to start following me because of the things they see me do. And you're probably really going to like that. You're probably really going to want to be a part of that. And like James and John asked mom to go talk to Jesus, can we be at his right and left side because we see you being a king, and I want my boys to gain all the benefits that's reaped by being on your side. And he says, you have no idea what you're asking. Your asking is from folly. Because I'm not an earthly king, I'm an eternal king. And my kingdom is going to bring challenges to a world that lives in folly. And this world that lives in folly is going to hate the things I say. And it's going to hate them so much that they're going to shout me down. They will not listen to my voice. And the foolish leaders' voices raise as they cry out. He's the son of Satan, not the son of God. Because they had to make sense of how he could do these miracles. Because if we accept that he is the son of God, then we're going to have to submit to his rule. And we just don't want to do that. Or it just doesn't make sense to us. We see both of those things happening in the religious leaders' lives. And consistently, this world that's living in folly is irritated by Jesus' words and Jesus' way. He enters in Jerusalem on the last week of his life with cheers of Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, riding on a donkey, riding as a king, riding as a victor, coming into the city in which he will be enthroned, in the place where God's temple is, where God's seat is, and he is going to be that representative. And the people are shouting, yes, we want renewal. We want something to change in our lives. And yes, that was wisdom, because he was the one who would bring change to their life. But how is it by the end of the week, many of those people were not shouting Hosanna. Many of those people were shouting along with the Jewish leaders, crucify. How did they so easily get convinced to start listening to the folly of the Jewish leaders that this man that they were cheering just days earlier, that he would become a Satan to be destroyed rather than a Savior to be exalted? How were they convinced that the way of Christ was going to be detrimental to them? And Satan laughs. Because the way he does it is by telling you, if you follow him, if you do this wise thing, it might not fully pay off the way you think. And do you really want that? Do you really want to be rejected? Do you really want to be criticized? Do you really want to be scoffed at? Do you really want people to look at you as you walk down the street and go, what a fool? And why is it that their praise is so powerful in my life that I would seek that, die for that, rather than seek Christ and die for him? And many people rejected Jesus' offer to be their Savior, to be their King, to be their Lord, to be their Master, to be the way of living in this life that is going to be beneficial for the creation that God made. James chapter 3 says, who's wise and understanding among you? Listen to this to see if you're wise or foolish. Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. So is that saying that pride comes from folly? That you're defending a self? That you're building protections from other people's attacks? Why not choose wisdom instead? But if you harbor bitter envy selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny that it's true. So he's calling us to do some introspection. What is true that's living in our heart? And is it a cancer that needs to be killed? Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it's earthly. It's unspiritual, it's demonic. But how much of our world is espousing folly that is evil and demonic, that tears people down rather than builds them up? It causes me to want to separate rather than to join. He says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, those things that cause division, there you will find disorder in every evil practice. We're told simply in 1 John 2:16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life are the greatest sources of folly, the greatest sources of sinfulness, the greatest things that divide us from our God, the greatest things that divide us from one another. But we have a God who loves us deeply, who sent his Son to die for us. That he experienced the folly of the world and he tried to live through wisdom. He didn't try, he did. He is the epitome of wisdom. That he continued to be himself in spite of what was said about him. He didn't fall into this great evil of thinking that he had to be something in the eyes of the world because he knew who he was in the eyes of his Father. Do you know who you are in the eyes of your Father? And if you can embrace that truth, then all the things that the world tries to bring you down, through that wisdom that I am loved by God in spite of what you think, in spite of what you say, in spite of all your reasons, I can continue to love you, care for you, and try to bring life to you for your sake, because I see that you're just so filled with anger, filled with strife, filled with hate, filled with death. And you can't be happy there. And when Jesus came to this earth, that's exactly what he thought about us. You can't be happy there. But I'm the way, I'm the life, I am the truth. Follow me, listen to me, exemplify me. And you will see it working out well. But remember, you're living in a world filled with folly. And sometimes the world will come crashing down on you. And the world came crashing down on the head of Jesus too. But he endured it for the sake of us. And on that cross, took all our folly upon himself. And in that tomb, raised from life and saying, that folly has no hold on me. Your folly will have no hold on you if you trust me and follow me. Allow that truth to envelop you. And this week, I want you to wake up in the morning and pray a prayer. God, help me to see myself through your eyes so I can live my life through your will. And see what that just might do to your day. And at the end of the day, take some inventory and say, Father, thank you for giving me your spirit to live well in this day, even though it was challenging. Thank you for the blessings that I couldn't see if I wasn't seeing it through your eyes. And give me the strength to do it again tomorrow. Do you not think that he will appreciate that heart? And a life that's lived like that will not be a life full of smoke. It will be a life that has meaning and purpose that goes beyond this world. And that's what he offers you. Need the prayers of the church. We're here for that. But let us strengthen you and guide you on your journey. Let's stand and give God praise.